holding up her head so that she could see the child who hung from his wrists, blood-streaked. "See? If we treat children so, think how much worse it will be for you." "Gird's grace on that boy," said Pox quietly. "The protector of the helpless, grant him peace." The priest dropped her head abruptly. After that came several torments, repeated careful blows of a slender rod, cuffs and blows with padded sticks and weighted thongs. Then she was untied and thrown to the floor, kicked and prodded and beaten again, not enough to break bones, but until she was dizzy and sick. All the time the crowd watched, jeering at her whenever she cried out. Pox fixed her mind on Gird and the High Lord, on the magical fire the Quokkan had raised, on the feel of the red horse's nose in her back. Next, she was shoved over to the platform where the boy hung, now stirring again and moaning. Blood spattered the floor, streaked his body. The guards untied him and tossed him aside. Pox winced at the hollow thud his body made, hitting the floor, and muttered another prayer for him. The priest slapped her. "Pray for yourself, fool. Better yet, beg mercy of our master, who is the only one who can help you now." "The High Lord has dominion over all the gods," said Pox, again to her own surprise. The priest signaled the guards, and Pox was jerked off her feet by a rope from her bound wrists over the crossbar. It nearly took her shoulders out of their sockets. The guards untied her ankles and spread her legs, tying them to either side of the frame, then hauled on the rope until all her weight came on her wrists.
"You,"
the shorter priest said, "are not a god, and therefore our master has dominion over you, or would you dispute that?" Sweat ran into her eyes, stinging. Pox gasped. "I am Gird's paladin. Your slave master has no dominion over me."
"Gird is not helping you now, paladin," sneered the priest. "Nor will you hold a sword again if we disjoint both shoulders and leave them so."
"Nor is that the limit of our skill," said the other. "Trust as you are, we can do anything, and you cannot prevent it."
Pox answered nothing. She could not breathe evenly. Pain racked her shoulders and back. She hardly felt the burns and welts that had hurt so earlier. How long had it been? How much more?
"I will show you," he said.
His gloved hands began to move over her body, gentle at first, in mimicry of lovemaking. The crowd laughed loudly as he exaggerated his movements for their benefit. Then his fingers probed her body, finding points that radiated spikes of pain. She could not stand it, had to writhe, could not, for the pressure on her shoulders. Soon she was panting, gasping for breath, tumbled in a roil of pain that brought back the night she'd been attacked at the inn. He stood back then and waited until her breathing quieted. Then he did it again, and again. The third time, she passed out. When she came to, her arms were tied overhead to corners of the same frame, and the shorter priest was lecturing the crowd.
"You see, you need not maim or kill, not at first. It is the skill, the knowing where to touch and how hard, knowing, for example, which child is a father's favorite."
A pause, alert silence from the crowd.
"Knowing how much punishment to give."
Another long silence.
"But some of you would already have killed this paladin of Gird, and spoiled our master's pleasure by so many hours. Watch and learn. Enjoy with us the power of our master over all mankind. Not even the hero saints of old can save this paladin in her pain. We can do anything, anything at all, and we come to no harm, as you see. Our